And I was telling Steve that I didn't want to come up here because I'm having a really bad hair day. And I barely can fill up my 5 minutes, so I'm going to really try to fill up 10 minutes. What it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. I was born and raised in Bakersfield, better known as Okieville, if anybody knows Bakersfield. I had a mother and a father. I had a very mentally ill older sister, and to say my family was dysfunctioning is an understatement. There was a lot of abuse, my grandmother and my mother, at the hands of them. And then my dad, he was totally opposite. He was very loving. I only got spanked by him one time, and I really deserved that one. But he was calm. You know, he never abused me emotionally or physically in any way. But my mom, that was another story. And I came to find out later on in life that my mom was severely depressed and had mental problems. And I was able, through the steps, to forgive her. So I basically survived my childhood. And I started dating someone when I was 12 and he was 16. And I believe the only reason I got to go out with him is because his dad was in the music business, country singer. And so I was allowed to go out with him. I was too young. There's no way I'd let any of my girls do that. But, you know, it was what it was. And I grew up really fast. And I wasn't mature enough for that relationship. When I was in the junior high, I was really outgoing. I was a cheerleader. I was involved in water ballet. You know, I had a lot of friends, you know, not just the popular kids. I was friends with everybody. I was getting out along really well in school. And then my freshman year, the young man that I was dating, my mom said he could live with us if he went back to school, because he had quit school. His dad's on the road all the time, and so he quit school. And in order for him to go back to school, he had to live with us. So then my freshman year, he was a senior, I was a freshman, he broke up with me, and, you know, he lived with us, so that was really difficult. And my life changed. You know, like I said, I wasn't socially ready for the type of relationship I was in. And so I based everything on him. And, you know, I became very insecure. I started to isolate at school. Then I felt like I was too fat to go to school, so I wouldn't go. I would cut. I probably weighed about 15 pounds less than I do right now, but I told myself I was too fat and ugly to go to school. So I had some emotional problems, big time. And one time I cut school for 2 weeks, and I stayed at my best friend Julie's house, and her parents were gone all day. They worked. Well, one day they came home. Julie had a dentist appointment, so I hid under her bed. She was in her room looking for her shoe, which was under the bed. So I freaked out, pushed it out at the bottom, and luckily she didn't see me under the bed. But about 3 days later, her mom came home early and caught me there. And I just threw myself in the corner, and I guess I looked so scared that she felt sorry for me, and she never did tell on me. You know, I'm friends with her now still on Facebook, and we've talked about that. But, you know, I just had mental and emotional problems. You know, I loathed myself at a very young age. And, you know, when you hate yourself so much, you cause a lot of chaos and a lot of carnage along the way, you know. Self-destruction in every form. And I remember my first drink, though. I was in sixth grade, and for some reason we had a party at my house. Normally, my mom was very isolated. Normally, we didn't have people over. But I remember there was a lot of alcohol on the table, and my mom wasn't a drinker. She had a prescription pill problem. That's a whole nother story. But she wasn't a drinker, and neither was my dad. But, you know, the people that were there for the party were having mixed drinks, and I remember one of our neighbor girls came over. She was a friend of mine, and I walked in the kitchen, and I made a remark like, oh, I could drink that, or something to that effect. And my mom said, oh, yeah, you think you're so tough? And so she poured me a few shots of vodka, and I remember that feeling, that ease and comfort that comes with that first drink, you know, and that's something I never forgot, you know. I was really sick the next day. I couldn't get off the couch until 6 o'clock that evening. She had to bring me a bedpan and, you know, a trash can to throw up in. I was so sick. But the funny thing about that is I didn't remember that part. I remembered the feeling of ease and comfort that came from that alcohol. And, you know, throughout high school, I didn't drink that much. No, that's not true. I did drink a lot. take that back. I wasn't an everyday drinker. I never was an everyday drinker because I'd get too sick. But anyway, as you can imagine, my life was a mess. I got married at 18. I was in no way prepared to be a wife. Got pregnant at 19, was in no way prepared to be a mother. But, you know, I did the best I could. I made it through my pregnancy with my twins without drinking, and they were about 6 months old when I decided one morning I was going to go to the corner store and get something. I put them in the stroller, and I bought a bottle of wine, and it was on after that. Alcoholism is a progressive disease, and it progressed rapidly after that. In 1996, I got to where I couldn't drink. My stomach was just tore up. Anything I would put in my system, I like to drink tequila. And when I'd take a shot of tequila, I'd throw it right back up. So I thought, you know, I was cured. I'm not going to be able to drink. So, you know, I didn't realize that the problem centered in my mind, you know, that the disease, that I had the disease of alcoholism. I knew nothing about Alcoholics Anonymous. I'd heard the word alcoholic, you're an alcoholic, but, you know, I didn't know what that meant. So what happened was when I couldn't drink anymore, I injured myself, and I started on the prescription drug plan, and I was on that for years and years and years. And, you know, it's the same insanity as drinking. You know, I just switched addictions, and, you know, I know this is Alcoholics Anonymous, but that's part of my story. So that's what brought me in here. I was 38 when I showed up, and I was pretty beaten up, but I was a hard case. I didn't get it right away. I had no trust when I got here. I believed what you guys were saying for you, but I had no trust. And, you know, I had a relationship with God. I always believed in God, and it's weird because I never went to church as a child. But, you know, I can remember as early as being 5 years old and burying my cat in the backyard and asking God to protect my cat, and burying all my pennies for God to take care of him. And I mean, I had a relationship with a God of my understanding at that age. And but it wasn't until I got into these rooms that I realized who he was and how much he loved me. And that's when things started to change. You know, I believe that right believing leads to right living. And when you get in here and you do the deal, you know, you get a sponsor and you do the steps, you know, the promises come to pass. You know, your life gets better. And that's what happened for me. I went into rehab the first time in, what was it? I think it was 06. And I got sober, or it was the end of 05, early 06. And I got sober. And I stayed sober almost 4 years. But what happened, and I've heard this a lot, I didn't think I needed Alcoholics Anonymous anymore. You know, I came in here, I got my life back, I got a job, I got peace in my life, and then I didn't need meetings anymore. When I was asked, you know, from people in, like, Jim R. and people in the meeting, like, where have you been? How are you doing? I would lie and say I'd going to meetings in Aurora Grande, or I'm going here, I'm going there. And I knew, the first time I lied about that, I knew I was in trouble. But that didn't, you know, I still had it. So anyway, long story short, I had insomnia for 15 years, and I started the road on sleeping pills. I can get addicted to anything. I just ask anybody. I bring ice. I see what I mean every time I come. So anyway, my mouth is dry. So it's taken me about 3 years to get a year again. My sobriety date is March 8th and of 2015. And, you know, it feels good. I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot from Alcoholics Anonymous. And honestly, the more I grow, the less I know, seriously. And I think that's a good place to be, because when I get into trouble is when my ego sets in and I think I know everything. And I have to try to prove myself right. So I'm learning this about myself. And one thing, I'll say this and then be quiet. One thing that I learned here is when I did the steps, I learned that there was a pattern all the way through my life of character defects that would come up and patterns and ways that I would act. And, you know, my character defects are not all gone, but a lot of them are. The majority of them are. I still have a few that raise their ugly head, you know, on a daily basis, you know, but I can manage it. I can manage a lot better because of Alcoholics Anonymous. So that's why I keep coming back, and thank you guys for being a part of my sobriety.